Welcome to Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We continue this week with our conversation on improving savings. We're trying to see how we can simplify investing, perhaps look at some of the tools that are available to us in the market right now. Joining us on the line, we have Ian Lloyd, the Group Chief Digital Officer at Kenanga Investment Bank. How are you, Ian?
Hi, I'm great. How are you today?
Fantastic. This week has been quite an interesting week. We've seen how the Parliament is having a special sitting. We've also seen how EPF is launching out the 10,000 ringgit special withdrawal. So there's a lot of things that are currently happening right now. But one thing that I want to draw everyone's attention to is that based on the National Strategy for Financial Literacy survey that was done between 2019 to 2023, that phase of 4 years, one in three Malaysians rate themselves to be low of financial knowledge. This is, of course, not new to us. Many of us in Malaysia are trying to better ourselves in trying to improve on financial literacy. Agencies like AKPK, for instance, is trying very hard to educate the market on how to best improve on personal finance. But of course, we are also trying to leverage on technology, see what we can do there as well. Perhaps you can take through us the kind of journey that Kenanga is going through right now, and perhaps try to see where we can simplify the concept of investing, perhaps through technology, perhaps through robo-advisory and many others.
Absolutely. I mean, you raised some really good points. I mean, financial literacy, financial preparedness around the world is always challenging for everyone. So I'm really excited to see some of these changes coming through from the government on how do we help improve financial literacy for Malaysians everywhere, right? I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity. And with technology coming through, with the launch of robo-advisors such as what we're doing at Kenanga today, I think this gives some great groundwork for people to take those first steps towards financial literacy, take those first steps towards financial independence as well. So Kenanga's been around for almost 50 years now. It's been a very award-winning stockbroking company, tremendous experience in developing wealth and developing investments. But we kept asking ourselves, how can we reach more people? How can we give them the products and services that they really need so they can take those steps towards financial literacy and financial independence? So we began over the last couple of months, last few years, to explore that in earnest. And that's where we came up with our robo-advisors. And these are the very beginning stages for us for as we move more into providing some kind of affordable and accessible financial services for everyone. Kenanga Digital Investing launched back in February. Tremendous engagement with a lot of customers. We're reaching almost half of our deposit base. Almost half of our investors today are actually from the B40 category, which we view as a fantastic step in the right direction to help bring more financial inclusion to all Malaysians everywhere.
You know, very recently, Kenanga launched the Kenanga Digital Investing Initiative, or KDI. I want to learn more about this.
Sure. So when we were looking at how do we reach more customers and give them all the knowledge and experience that Kenanga has in investment products, we kept asking ourselves, how can we make it simpler and simpler and simpler? We got it down to actually just three questions. We ask you, what's your age? How long do you want to invest? And what's your risk appetite? And from that, we'll calculate five different portfolios, five different investment ideas for you. You pick one, deposit your money, starting as low as 250 ringgit, and it goes forward. And it will do a selection across a whole range of different asset groups, different asset products that you can invest in, and provide you kind of a bespoke portfolio that helps you achieve some of your long-term goals for finances.
And of course, we also want to understand the take-up of the product, the kind of reception the product has from the market, basically what kind of progress that we can see right now.
Sure. Actually, I was just looking at the numbers. I was actually blown away. So we have launched in 15 February. It's been about 6 weeks now or so. We're already rapidly approaching 100 million assets under management, 100 million AUM. For us, that's a tremendous market penetration in just such a short time.
Ian, let's talk a little bit more about the concept of robo-advisor, because I've been talking about this for quite some time now on my show. The idea here is that robo-advisors tend to pick stocks that are, I guess, higher performing. They can shed stocks that would be showing a downward trend and many others. But this basically fuels the kind of blue chip stocks plus extra and ignores some kind of companies that might have real growth potential, some kind of companies that might have strong fundamentals, but not necessarily have that kind of attention or market share or the kind of awareness from the market. So as a person like myself, I do invest in a few robo-advisors. I would like to invest in many more companies, but at the same time, I don't have the luxury or the time to stock pick and try to go through every analyst report when it comes to equities in all the markets that I want to invest in. How do you intend to widen the kind of conversation in terms of what investors can get their hands onto, particularly on companies that might not necessarily be getting picked on by robo-advisors, but they are perhaps quite important to be looked at when it comes to investing? Where's the balance in this?
Yeah, that's actually a fantastic question. It's also one of the most challenging when you do look at robo-advisors. I'll start first by saying not all robo-advisors are the same. It's a bit like Coca-Cola and their secret recipe. You know, no one actually tells you what's inside and you know exactly how the robo-advisor works, because it is our special capabilities, our special learnings, and our special models we use to develop the robo-advisors. But what we do, I can talk a bit around what we at Kananga do. What we do is we have a basket of different types of investment options. We look at exchange-traded funds primarily, domiciled in the U.S., but investing globally. And that mix gives us a wide range that we can directly invest in. Now, we pick ETFs because they are a very good way to access a large, diversified portfolio with a single investment. And then what we do, our robo-advisor does every single day, is they analyze about 1,000 different data points is to identify which ETFs are on the up and which are kind of on the down, if you will, and manage the portfolio from that perspective. You raise a really good question. How do you get direct exposure to some like really hot and interesting companies? Especially if you're using ETFs, you buy a basket, you don't buy a single one. So what we do, instead of just investing, say, blue chips, or just investing in, say, total market indices, for example, particularly say only investing in the US, we don't do that. We look at different geographies. The US is one of them. Europe is one of them. Of course, Malaysia is definitely one of them as well. We look at different types of bonds and other fixed income instruments to help balance the portfolios. We even look towards things like commodities like gold or oil, as well as real estate and even currency futures as well. And we bundle all this together into a very simple and easy to use product. We feel that way gives us gives our customers access to a whole range of different investment ideas, different investment classes, by picking an ETF that covers a geography or a special type of asset class. And that's how we hope to actually capture more of those kind of undervalued, underweighted companies who are definitely on the rise, but just not picked up by the traditional robo-advisors that are really focused on just the cream of the cream, you know, the top of the NASDAQ, basically.
We're looking also at scale and how we can automate things and perhaps train the computer models to actually be better than us. We also want to understand how things can be done in nanosecond, quick, lightning quick. But at the same time, that whole subjectivity, how we can include human, input into how things are done, that must be done continuously, effortlessly, seamlessly. Again, another question of balance. So how do you get more people in to give their kind of valuable insights, particularly if they have, I wouldn't say market insider, but, you know, an insight towards how the market works, perhaps some personalities running those kind of companies, some equity analysts that have been seeing trends for some time and see how they can imbue those kind of ideas into the computer models. Again, the question of subjectivity and balance here. How do you reach that in your models?
Okay, also a good question. And that actually plays a bit of the strengths of Kananga, as we are an investment bank. We've been doing this for 50 years. We have entire office building full of people who this is their entire job practically. And we leverage on them, we borrow them and bring their ideas into the robo-advisor to help refine it, to improve it, and to evolve it. We're very interested actually in offering some new classes of robo-advisors. So not just the traditionals of say geography expansion or ETFs, but even looking at longer range things such as healthcare, technology, and so on. And we would, to do that, we would, of course, go right next door, talk to my our own head of equities, Lee Kopke, talk to his teams around what they're seeing, talk to our unit trust businesses, our futures businesses, to get all of those ideas, all of those signals, and bring it together to create a robo-advisor. One thing that we do a little bit different, though, is when we, our human element comes in to create those robo-advisors the first time. But we've often seen, and the facts back this up, actually, the more a human interacts with the robo-advisor's recommendations, oftentimes the less benefits, the less results you actually see at the end of the day. So what we do is we model it, we train it, we monitor it, we ensure the model is working as expected. We actually let it run on a day-to-day basis. We try not to interfere in what it's doing. Because oftentimes the model will detect things that we as humans don't ever think about. Now remember, the thing is looking at over 1,000 data points every single day, pulling information from everywhere to understand what it should be investing in for that particular day. So again, we let them run, we train them up, we teach them right, and then we bring them forward into the world to see how they perform.
Fantastic. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit more with Kananga after this. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Ian Lloyd, the Group Chief Digital Officer at Kananga Investment Bank. Ian, let's talk a little bit more about the robo advisory investment product that you are launching. Let's face it, we already have a few incumbents already in the market. Some of them are doing fairly well. Many of them are still trying to gather more market share. How is it right now introducing a new financial product here in the market where it seems like this is, of course, an observer. I'm pretty sure you have a little bit more market data than me. But it seems like it's a little bit more saturated than most. How do you intend to break through and get more market share in this space?
Sure, sure. So as I look at the whole range of robo-advisors in the market, the first thing I'm struck by, there's a great number of choice now for consumers. Personally, I think more choice, more competition is always better. It means that we are all pushed to build better products that meet your needs in particular. And I think as I look at them, I start to see that they're all diversifying in slightly different ways, right? You have some competitors looking at doing very, very small ticket sizes, you know, saving up your change, basically. Others are looking to be a bit more technical and give you more control and insights into it. But, you know, we carved out KDI, or Kananga Digital Investing, to be really simple, you know, incredibly simple, three questions, get you started, invest in some fairly robust and tested portfolios, just get you started investing. Our view is we want to get you started. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter when, it's just start investing, start yourself on that path towards financial independence.
But what would be some of the interesting features that you want to impress upon prospecting clients? They might already have robo-advisors on them, some of them direct competitors to your product right now.
Absolutely. So whenever you're looking at these, I'll just take my hat off for a second and think from a consumer viewpoint. I say, look at the type of portfolios included inside. Does it make sense to your investing philosophy? Does it, you know, does it jive with you, what you want to invest in? The second thing is look at what comes around it. We talked a lot about that robo-advisor side for KDI, Kananga Digital Investing. But if you look at what we have this fantastic high yield, effectively a high yield savings account. You have to stress first and foremost, not PIDM insured, but it is very safe investments that yields up to 3% per annum right now. It's our introductory rate. Very easy to move funds back and forth between them. Very easy to get started with either one of them. Again, I say it's all about simplicity for us. We've made it so easy to deposit money, start earning some interest right off the bat. When you're ready and comfortable, start investing it in the markets, see how that plays out. Move your money back and forth, free of charge between them, no issues at all. Withdraw your money whenever you need it as well, no lock-in periods.
Okay, let's go for one more short break before we go back to Ian of Kananga. Welcome back. I have with me Ian Lloyd of Kenanga Investment Bank. Yeah, and let's talk a little bit more about the direction of how the market's going to shape up away from the kind of products that you guys have been rolling out, away from the kind of ongoings right now in the market. I just want to learn more about the kind of expectations that you have when it comes to digitization and the trajectory of where this country is going to go next in this space. What would be some of the key ideas that you can share with us, the kind of expectations that you see with us when it comes to trends moving forward for this year?
Sure. So absolutely, my personal view is we're going to see more and more digitization of everything, from government agencies through to banks, all the way down towards the little mamak stalls will be certainly, if they're not doing already, having QR codes attached to it. Everything will become more and more digital in that sense. I think we'll start to see money become less and less used on a day-to-day basis. You know, after a while, it just becomes easier to pay with a QR code for everything. I do see maybe in the world of business, I think with the market starting to open up more, they're going to see a bit more engagement, a bit more travel again, people coming out and starting to spend money and moving around. But you know, when we come back around to like financial services and financial products, everything will just become more and more convenient. I think we've all started to realize that no one wakes up in the morning and says they're so excited to get a mortgage, right? They want the house, not the mortgage. And we look at financial products in that same way. People want the services financial products give. They don't necessarily want the financial product, right? So getting out of the way, helping customers experience, you know, their lives the way they want to experience them, I think is going to be a really big push for financial services, but also for just about every business out there.
Okay, let's also look at the kind of risks that are currently laying down before us. I'm not too sure whether the Ukrainian and Russian conflict would have any bearing towards your business, but I'm pretty sure that inflation rate will be a key figure or a key factor moving forward. What would be some of the ideas that you can share with us when it comes to risks, particularly running across the business in your space right now?
Sure. So actually, the Russia-Ukraine conflict actually did impact our robo-advisor in the sense that it started to detect changes in the market and even began to take corrective action for it. Also, just to share, we actually did previously explore using Russian ETFs inside the system. Obviously, now we have removed them from the process. So, I mean, these conflicts can have wide-ranging impacts worldwide, and I think we're only just starting to see the beginning of that. But as we look towards kind of the future and the role for where RoboAdvisor is heading to, there's you know, tremendous potential in this space to continue to evolve and to offer new services that people really want. So as what I really want to see happen, for example, is we start doing more value-based investing. You know, if you're interested in technology, if you're interested in healthcare, if you're interested in geopolitical situations, we should be able to start providing investment options to cater to that.
All right. Ian, final thoughts on the idea of the country opening up its economy. Do you feel that a lot more people will think a lot more about investing, about trying to see where they can, you know, stretch their ringgit, so to speak? Or do you think that there's going to be a lot more tightening of belts and try to see where, you know, stimulus packages can help many of us? Where do you see the trajectory of the wallet going forward in the near term?
Sure. I think if the COVID pandemic has taught us anything, the many lessons actually coming from it, is that we do need to save. We do need to put away a bit of money for a rainy day, for whatever could happen. Products like what you see here with the robo-advisors coming up, I think they're coming up at a great time. I mean, obviously, I'm biased towards KDI. I think it's a fantastic product. But honestly, I think I would hope that everyone can begin saving more, putting money away for any situation that might come up. Robo-advisors are actually a really good way to do that because they can help you push your money, stretch your money, use it more, make it work for you more without requiring a lot of investment of your time and energy. Like you said in the very beginning, you don't have time to sit down and read every prospectus of every company to work out an ideal strategy. That's why robo-advisors are created. They help bridge that gap and help people to make their money stretch more.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Ian. That was Ian Lloyd, the Group Chief Digital Officer at Kenanga Investment Bank. If you've missed out on any of the parts of this interview, just head on to astrawan.com. Look for Notepad over there. You can also look for the kind of conversation that we have here in store for you. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.